inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Hall Uprising!
We're back for week four! Woo,
we made it!
Yeah, I'm Sam.
I'm Shanika.
And we are Slam Pow Productions! And this podcast is about sex, love, and dating.
From a queer, black, feminist perspective. And we are two polyamorous ladies, 20-somethings.
Living it up in New York City. Getting mad dick out here.
Getting so little dick out here.
Getting a small amount of dick out here.
In this corner of the room. We're in the same corner of the room.
Yeah. So if you're just joining us, welcome.
Yeah.
And if you're returning, welcome back.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about...
dating apps.
Today is the dating app. Everybody.
Yeah.
And so yeah, our show, for those of you unfamiliar with the format, just like we are, still changing around.
It changes every week.
Four segments today. First segment is Fuck Them. That is our current events segment. We talk about
worldly current events.
Yes.
If you've listened in the past, we start out with our ratchet ass current events in our lives, where we're doing it a little different this week. Just next, to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. See how it changes everything.
Yeah.
Next segment is Fuck It, where we get into the topic.
Which topic
is
of
be
the day.
Dating apps.
Yes.
Let me just fuck around.
You just say fuck it. Yeah.
And then the next segment is Mad Notes in the Document.
It's us. It's our current events.
That's fuck.
We should call it Fuck Me.
Fuck Me.
Yeah.
That's the next segment is called Fuck Me.
Yeah. Just making it up as we go.
And that's just the shit that's going down in our lives. And the last segment is
Fuck That.
Oh, shit. Or,
oh, was that Fuck It? I don't even know anymore. Oh, shit. I'm so sorry. Why is that written there?
And the last segment is called Fuck You, where we take your questions and we answer them. So we know our show.
Yeah. It was mislabeled in the document.
We're very organized.
It's labeled two wrong things. Why is that there? And I'm, like, not even actively thinking about it. I'm just mindlessly reading and shit. So our first segment, Fuck Them! All right, so
to start off, for all of you 90s kids,
yeah,
older and younger, anyone in the world, the guy who voiced Hey Arnold is very sexy. He's very, like, white chocolate sexy.
Yeah.
Torin.
All right, so this is, I was, like, saving it. I was like, I'm not going to click this so you can see my actual reaction. Like, I saw it on my phone and I didn't see him that close up, but now I'm looking at him. He's very... We can get more into this, into, like, the dating apps discussion, but he looks like a guy who would be swiped right on Tinder.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he's got, like, luscious-ass hair.
Oh, that's... It's the hair, the eyes are, like, smoldering.
No, it's everything.
It's his literally everything. His body looks like the right shape.
His eyebrows are done. He's not, like, too buff, but, like, he can lift you up during some
sex. Yeah.
He's got, great... Lucas wants to see. Oh, shout out to our engineer, guys. He has really nice tattoos. He's got a visco cam filter on there. It looks very bluish.
He looks like the blue and the orange going in that bathroom that one time.
Wow.
He does. That's why. I was like, this man
you
is.
You sucked a good guy's dick.
Right?
You sucked a good dick.
I sucked a plunger next to that man's dick and walked out of the bathroom.
He's so Hey Arnold. Man, just on the. Okay, I think it's kind of creepy when people are just like, yeah, this child star is hot now. But child stars do be getting really fucking hot. It's very strange.
Gorgeous. They have so much. I hope that, like, their money is going into, like, their health and wellness and, you know, like, just so that they can look good for us.
His eyes are so green.
Like, if he starred in a show,
fine. He wouldn't have to say anything. It would be fine.
He'd just be there.
What do you think the biggest glow up of a child star was? I got somebody in mind.
Just say it. I don't
fucking Neville from Harry Potter.
Oh,
Matthew Lewis.
He's pretty. Oh no, he definitely went from like nerd.
Yeah, he was looking rough. He was looking rough as fuck.
Especially in the movie, they were making him slash the basilisk.
Yeah, that's when it started.
That's what I considered writing.
Like the loins were like, wait,
yeah, wait, Neville. That's when I started. That moment, I was like, I could see a Hermione Neville fanfic.
Yeah,
M rated. Like I was like, he's gonna. Because usually when I write fanfiction, which I rarely do nowadays, but it's Hermione Draco is my couple, but
yeah.
Neville is a strong possibility now.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Right. Can you even be a hip-hop feminist? Is that such a thing? If so,
I think you can, and I agree. At this point in time, it probably is Fetty Wap.
Mm-hmm. MC Lyte, for those of you who don't know, MC Lyte is a rapper from the 80s, very legendary woman rapper. So she's at like a conference. I think it's at the White House. Did you see the video? It looked like it was at. It looked like it was at the White House or something like that.
It's an important place.
Congress, whatever government. Fuck it. So she's at a round table with other women, and they're discussing like women in hip hop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, like, some woman had asked a question or whatever, and was like, who do you think the most feminist rapper in hip-hop is?
Ah, interesting.
And then MC Lyte, so the person who had answered the question was like, ah, it's totally Fetty Wap or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then people like chuckle a little bit or whatever. And then Fetty Wap takes the mic. Fetty Wap, a wild Fetty Wap appears. MC Lyte takes the mic and she raps. No, and she's like, yeah, yeah, I totally think it is Fetty Wap right now. Out of the new generation of rappers, Fetty Wap is totally the most feminist. And, like, her basis is just, like, the fact that he's rapping about loving women, like how Trap Queen was a song about loving a assumingly black woman from the trap or whatever. And that just brings up all these notions about what feminism is and what feminism isn't.
I think it's just the, like, the lowest standard. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
I love a girl.
Yeah.
And he's not even with that person who that song was about.
It doesn't make it feminist. It makes it not
anything
like misogynist. But is it,
you can say you love women and be pretty misogynistic.
I mean, that makes that particular song not a misogynistic song, but like it doesn't make him overall
is it not a misogynistic song?
Well, I
run up in your house and I fuck your hoe.
Is that in that song?
It's in Trap Queen. Oh. And I never got that because it's like it's a love song to another woman. And then he says very randomly, run up in your whose house is he talking about?
I was just skimming the lyrics. And I was also like, you know that song was like, is he saying, and I got this soda?
Yo, I never know what he meant. I mean, he's talking about lean. And I got the soda because you mix it with Sprite.
Because I read some lyrics and it said I got this sewed up. Like, I just don't listen to lyrics.
Oh, man, after his surgery. God, it's so, I don't know.
I don't listen to lyrics anymore.
There's not much to listen to.
Just because, I don't know, I guess, I don't think you can, like, you're not feminist because you say one nice thing about a woman.
Exactly.
In your whole song, you know?
Exactly. And then, like, going off of that, she, like, says that Big Sean is one of the good feminist rappers now, too, because he raps about loving his grandma. Like, in that song, One Man... First of all, he called the song One Man Can Change the World. Mm. The song is about his grandma, and he still called it One Man Can Change the World.
No,
the misdirection.
Yeah.
Like, I love Big Sean. I think he's funny, but, like, the nigga's not a fucking feminist.
I think her lyrics... Not her lyrics. Sorry. Her
analysis.
Her analysis,
MC Lyte sucks.
Her standards.
Yeah, her standards are low as fuck. And then she says, What does she say? She says, something along the lines of, you have to give these guys a pat on the back, like the younger generation of rappers, and let them know they're heading in the right direction and showing, like, love for African-American women.
No.
Like, first of all, they're not heading in a great direction. They're not really going anywhere.
They're not doing much.
They're not doing anything, one. But even if they were, is it really our job to give them a pat on the back? Like, yeah, your base level line of feminism. Yeah, Fetty Wap.
Like, I think you pat people on the back when you're genuinely proud of what, like for example, Janelle Monáe. Like, people are, you just naturally get shout outs and good praise from people when, like, people don't, like, teach about her in, like, classes and, like, analyze her lyrics and, like, reference her. It depends on what you mean by pat on the back.
I mean, in terms of, like, social justice, if you're talking about, if you're the oppressor and you're talking about the oppressed group and you're trying to lift up the oppressed group, I'm not gonna give you a fucking pat on the back. You should be giving me my basic human rights. Mm. Like, why does Fetty Wap deserve a pat on the back for saying he loves a girl?
No, he doesn't. No, I don't think he deserves.
Or even if it was a feminist song, I don't think he deserves a pat on the back either.
Ah.
Like, that's just being a decent human being to me. It's like giving, like, white allies a pat on the back when they're like, "Yeah, Black lives do matter."
Oh, I was totally thinking about Macklemore.
Yeah,
but the thing is, yeah, because you're always it's like the white man goes to the party and dances, and everyone's
oh god, and it's like so mediocre, and everybody's like, oh shit, Justin.
Yeah. Wait, Justin, not Bieber, sorry.
Timberlake. No, he's actually
but he's
a pretty good
dancer. He's a very good dancer.
Justin Bieber can't dance that well.
But to the point of patting someone on the back, particularly someone in an oppressive position, and who is currently oppressing.
Yeah.
No, I think you have to keep, like, I don't want to say opening dialogue, but you have to keep, like, criticizing and be like, yeah, no, he's really sweet in this.
Exactly.
He's very sweet in this song. Like, you can acknowledge it.
Yeah, you can
it.
Praise the... Yeah, I think he's doing great. I love Fetty Wap. He's
Yeah,
Asian.
He's awesome.
He's...
I like the music.
Yeah, he's living through the disability or whatever.
Yeah.
He's, like, bigging up people with disability.
Yeah, like,
he's
that's
doing a lot
that's
of good,
great.
He's doing a lot of great things.
But I'm not going to pat him on the back for a feminism that I don't see.
Exactly.
Or acknowledge. I mean, and it's also... I guess it's your choice, you know, like...
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, MC Light.
Like, yeah, go for it, you know? Not saying don't say what you're saying.
I'll just say you're dumb. No, I'm
kidding. we'll just disagree on a podcast.
Yeah.
So in a basement
no
Queens.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay.
It's totally
so,
okay.
Fetty Wap, still good music.
Yeah. Got the soda.
Here we go.
Remy
the
boys,
soda.
They know us. Or whatever.
Police say the shooter holed himself up inside Planned Parenthood around 11:30. When officers arrived, he allegedly shot at them through the windows, then began a five-hour standoff inside that Planned Parenthood office.
All right, so we're recording November 28th, and you're going to be listening to this November 30th.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Friday, November 27th, there was a terrorist attack on a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado.
Yes.
Three people are dead.
Three people have died.
Yeah.
Seven or eight people
trying to get the guy's
were
name.
Injured, but are in good condition.
So the suspect has been identified as Robert Lewis Deere. Mm-hmm. I believe he's in his 50s, 57 years old. And he's looking a little rough. He's looking like the kind of guy who might shoot up a Planned Parenthood.
Oh, no.
Yeah, did you see him?
I read the article, like, this, let me see. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
I wake up, have my coffee, shoot up Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Not the
profile people, but.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how, like, the mainstream media or whatever and how people.
Covers this.
Yeah, exactly. Because definitely the motivation is to terrorize people using Planned Parenthood. And usually the motivation behind that is for the sole reason that Planned Parenthood is associated with granting women abortions, and religious zealots and all-around misogynistic people don't like when we do that.
Nope. Oh, and I believe this Colorado, it's like been like targeted by groups protested about in terms of like them receiving federal aid, which I mean,
why the fuck not?
Why not? the idea that birth control, like, you shouldn't be provided for, like, certain forms of it.
So stupid. Like, what the fuck do you want? Like, an entire world of people? Like, more people? We have 7 billion.
Right? And we have overpopulation, overcrowding. Like, shit
in a lot
shitty.
Of places. Yeah, exactly.
And, like, the thing that bothers me about people against abortion, who are like, you know, that baby's life matters, you don't give a shit about that person once they're born.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, the funny thing about this, I was saying to Akeem earlier, I'm pro-life. This guy killed 3 people. What the fuck do
right?
you mean?
Like, pro-life in
You're
a way.
Not pro-life.
You're obviously not. You're
so killing
right.
people. You're killing actual people and not just a collection of cells, which is what people abort when they get abortions.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't actual people, guys. Read the fucking science.
And even if you're a person who believes that that is a potential for life and therefore a valid form of life, it's just the idea of being pro-life and murdering people, I feel like, is enough to be like,
makes no sense.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Yeah. So back on your point about how, like, in Colorado, the Planned Parenthood had like, several attacks on it or whatever, I think this specific clinic has, like, a bunker for that shit.
It does. A lot
That's
of people...
That's so crazy.
Yeah, a lot of people avoided harm because they were in safe rooms.
Yeah.
Because, not that they were predicting it, but they were like, this could happen.
No, they were fucking predicting it. So, stats. Since 1977, 8 abortion clinic workers have been killed. The most recent in 2009. This guy named Garrett Tiller or something like that, abortion doctor.
Jesus Christ.
Freaking out of this world. 7,000 incidents of trespassing, vandalism, arson, death threats, and other forms of violence also since 1977. That's legit
terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to make people actively not seek Planned Parenthood services. And I say people because not everyone who uses Planned Parenthood is a woman. We have GNC folks using Planned Parenthood. Mm. We have trans men using Planned Parenthood. Niggas just need the shit.
Yeah, it's useful that's a useful resource. I think it's very important.
I have another, there's just like this picture I have of what Planned Parenthood actually provides, because people just like get dead set on abortion.
Yes.
But it's not only abortion.
I think that, please read that.
Yeah, so.
Just for those of us, I mean, a lot of our viewers, listeners.
Yeah.
I feel I like finding argument fodder. So like when people are, have you up against the wall, you can be like, actually, there's a lot more that it does.
Yeah, exactly. So Planned Parenthood stats from 2013 to 2014, 42% of people who use Planned Parenthood were going for STI and STD treatment or testing. 34% to get forms of contraception, 11% for other women's services. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Could be breast exams.
Maybe it could be breast exams, but cancer screenings is 9%. Abortion services is only 3% and people are killing people over that. And then it says other services, 1%.
That's what you go to, like you go to a gynecologist. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Like these are like people who can't go to gynos.
You can't afford a gynecologist. So
or your healthcare doesn't cover it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's really important to your health and to
in
the health
a lot
of
ways.
Everybody around
ways.
You.
Yeah.
If you're going to be sexually active or have sex, or even believe in family, you know, and you want to have like healthy family planning.
Exactly.
You're going to need these things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, it's a very narrow vision of what
Planned Parenthood does. Yeah. And then there was, like, that stupid story earlier this year about how Planned Parenthood is, like, taking babies and fucking operating. Just some bullshit. I never actually really even looked into it because it was so stupid. Lucas is going to help us out.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
They were harvesting
organs. Exactly. Harvesting organs. Something very science fiction.
It's
harvesting
very, like,
organs.
It's like very like the Matrix.
Exactly.
They're taking these aborted babies.
Fucking building socialist robot Obamas from the limbs of harvested children.
Exactly.
Fuck Planned Parenthood.
Who was one of the GOP candidates. Like,
fucking Carly Farina talked about that shit on live television during the debate. It was so stupid.
Oh, no.
She was saying not facts during a debate.
Oh, my God.
Non-facts.
This would be an amazing...
Actual falsehoods.
We need to do a plan...
It was insane.
We need to do a Planned Parenthood, like, parody horror story. That's like... It needs to be so absurd
the
and obscene.
The aborted fetuses. Oh.
They're all...
They're chasing after me and they're just like crawling on the floor. The collection of cells.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man.
So
that's what's going down and that's
you know,
what people are dealing with.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just trying to stay healthy.
Yeah. During Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is October, a lot of people were saying, like, that was like the same time that Congress was like doing some shit to poke holes in like funding to Planned Parenthood or whatever, and people were like, instead of saying save the titties and wearing pink, how about you actually fucking save the people that you claim to be actually caring about or whatever, because nobody was talking about Planned Parenthood.
Oh,
and everybody was
man.
Just like wearing pink or buying lollipops or some shit like
that's
that.
That's
what it is.
Yeah.
It's really just capitalism, honestly.
It is.
Nobody actually gives a fuck.
Because that's what you, that if you really want to be saving people and helping people's sexual
exactly.
health and
their breasts,
you,
their titties,
their actual titties and their actual bodies.
Yeah.
You don't try to defund and just, I was going to say defamate, but I don't even know if that's a real word.
I don't know if that's a real word.
You just, oh, it's defecate.
So you I don't feel try like to defamate is a word too.
You don't try to shit on the places that
the
are doing these things. Because I feel like it's so easy to have shallow support of things.
Exactly. Oh, God.
Which, you know, which I understand.
I've been talking about that for
forever. I understand. It is difficult because there is just a lot going on in the world. And it's very difficult. I feel like sometimes I feel hopeless because it's just like, how do I actually make meaningful change?
Gotcha.
You know, and I feel like a way to... And it's particularly on social media. It's so easy to just share pictures. I think it's more useful share a picture and actual information.
Yeah.
Versus just, here's my pink thing for awareness.
Yeah.
Like, what am I now aware of because of this little loopy pink
Breast
stripe?
Cancer exists.
Nothing.
Little known fact.
Like, why don't you share that and share, here is how you give yourself a breast exam.
Yeah.
Here's how often you, like, share actual information and not just little,
yeah.
I like titties.
Exactly.
I like my titties.
Yeah.
because
yeah, I hate that save the titty shit. It really gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
And sexualizing people who have fucking breast cancer, like, fuck you. And then a lot of people purposely remove their tits so that they can be safe.
Yeah, very true. Exactly. So we're not trying to. You're trying to save yourself.
Exactly.
It's not. It's. I guess it's about the breasts, but it's about the person who has them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot going on in this.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Sam is getting upset.
Sam is upset.
Yeah.
So, oh, and I guess the last point is just talking about terrorism.
Yes.
Very briefly.
Ah, man, so much.
This is an act of terrorism. Mm-hmm. If you think terrorist and you think of some
Syrian
vague
refugees,
Middle Eastern,
yeah,
yeah, the threat
Syrian
of terror-
refugees who are refugees because they're trying to escape terrorism.
They're trying to escape. Actual terrorists.
Yeah,
like
actual
terrorists.
Terrorism.
They're not the terrorists.
Yeah.
They're the, like, you know what I mean?
They're fucking refugees. Like, that's what it means.
Yeah.
They're refugees for a reason. Yeah. So, like, there's that in contrast to the situation or whatever, like, the coverage of it. And then there's also, like, the fact that this guy was taken in custody alive.
That
he killed a cop.
It's insane to
and
me.
Two other people.
You know, and you know what I think... It's, you know, it's the fact that he was taken alive compared to so many
people who don't
other
do
people
anything.
Who yeah people who
usually
are
usually black people
yeah they do nothing and then they are shot many times
several times
16
fatally
yeah the first time and then the rest is like wait not
let
even
me just
the
keep
first.
Firing my gun
oh my gosh so yeah because I think that's the right outcome is you take if you can get the person alive and they're not a threat.
Yeah.
Or you can subdue the threat without using lethal force, if that is within the realm of possibility.
Which it is.
I feel like it is.
It just happened yesterday.
Exactly. So, and this, and if this person was actually armed, holding people up, and these officers could subdue him.
Then you can subdue anybody.
And were trying to make contact. They were trying to talk to this man. That's the first thing they tried to do, is to, like, you know, like, where is this person? Let's, although I guess they were trying to find the person where they were.
It's fucking insane. This guy had a fucking gun.
There is
no... Who's the kid in Chicago's name?
Laquan McDonald.
Yeah.
There is no
reason. Has a tiny little knife in his hand, walking very far away from the cops.
Exactly.
Shoot him 16 times.
If these officers can do that, why can these officers... What, like, these officers did not need to do that. It's just so...
Spoiler alert, they hate black people.
Yeah, that's... But I think if you, like, when
yeah.
talking about, you know, what is proper and the idea of, like, a threat to human life,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like people are, like, I don't know, people are just so, like, well, he was endangered. I think we just have to, and you just have to say, you know what, if other police officers
exactly.
in other places can
exactly.
do this under much more... strenuous situations, if they try to talk first,
yeah.
then these other officers who are just as capable and have similar equipment
yeah.
can do and attempt the same.
Got the fucking Boston bomber alive. That little kid who looks like Nick Jonas.
Oh, you're right, that man was...
still alive.
What the fuck?
Although I think he was sentenced to death, right?
I'm not
or
sure.
Or was it life?
Sentenced to death or sentenced to life?
Life in prison, I mean.
I know. Yeah. It's just the way it sounds.
That is strange.
It's a poem. It's a poem in there.
Sentence to life in this hellhole of a country. No. I love America.
So, yeah. I'd like to hear our viewers. I'm never going to stop saying viewers. Our listeners' thoughts on Planned Parenthood. It may just become a lovely, self-affirming echo chamber.
Yeah.
Or we can, I'd love to hear what people think about it. And
yeah,
about
I
it.
Mean, you guys, stop texting me what you think about the show. Just comment it on SoundCloud.
Yeah, please do that. Let us...
Or stop sending me your personal
yeah,
stories
let
and
us...
just email them in.
We'll respond and we'll engage and talk
yeah,
about
we'll
them.
Still talk to you in the email, just like, I, like, play... Everything's everywhere. It's like DM, text, Facebook chat, Instagram message. Like,
not
it's
on our
fucking
actual.
Everywhere.
Not on our actual.
This one kid was like, "Yeah, I saw the email post, but I just wanted to text you because I thought it was awkward since I already have your number."
No,
I would be awkward. I said, "Email the show."
Email the show.
I asked you to email the show.
I guess people are seeing us as our individual selves making the show.
Yeah, exactly.
We're an entity.
We are. This is the Inner Ho Uprising. We are no longer Sam or Shanika.
We are Sam, Shanika, and Lucas.
Exactly.
And together, we are the
inner hoe. Right?
We're your inner hoe.
Yeah.
But you're also your own inner hoe.
We're all our own inner hoes.
Right.
And now I'm in this darkest closet trying to figure out just how I'm going to get my crazy ass about this house.
So R. Kelly has 40 more chapters of Trapped in the Closet.
He's announced that he's announcing. Now he's announced that he's doing 40 more chapters of that shit trapped in the closet. Lucas is so pleased.
Lucas
will get unpleased. Obviously, everybody loves Trapped in the Closet. It's stupid.
It's stupid, but it's so funny. Ballsy. You know what I mean?
The content matter.
It's like the fact that you did that. You're like, I'm going to do this and stick with it.
Exactly. You really did
But the fact
with
that
it.
You've molested, sexually harassed, and otherwise...
Peed on children.
That's
yeah,
okay.
He's a fucking pedophile. Just like, we're just going to do this really quick. He's a pedophile. Whenever somebody talks about him, he's never fucking discussed. He was like at an NBA game, like shooting baskets or whatever with his weird beard and his uncle suit. And he just reminds me of like the rapey uncle. I don't have a rapey uncle. I just want all my uncles to know
it's,
that.
It's the...
But like... I'm not talking about you.
Any of you family. None of you.
So there was like a meme that said, it's like, I think it's Tupac or somebody. Know. Somebody looking very angrily, and it's like when you're looking across from your the uncle that raped your sister or that molested your sister. And like, unfortunately, I kind of laughed at it because that shit really does happen. And you know, there's humor and truth.
You laugh at what's relatable.
Exactly. That shit happens, and fucking sexual assault, especially... I don't want to say especially in the black community because I'm not in any other community, so I can't speak to what's going on in y'all white communities and whatnot.
In the Asian,
but
Latino
sexual assault is just fucking swept under the rug, and the person just keeps being invited back
as if
nothing ever happened, and it's very traumatic for the person who it happened to,
and it's,
or the people that
it
happened
and
to.
It's, I don't know, it's like weird.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, by the way, guys.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. BT dubs.
Yeah.
Sexual assault.
Yeah, so I just feel like R. Kelly is that rapey uncle who nobody ever talks about.
It's
like Bill Cosby was also that guy because like those allegations had been around for years and years and years until Hannibal Buress was like, yo, nigga, it ends today.
He woke up, let me just take down Bill Cosby.
Yeah, but he had been doing that bit for so long, though, actually.
Oh, and then
somebody was just like, let me illegally record this.
And share it.
And put it on YouTube.
Guerrilla media.
Yeah, exactly. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Hannibal Buress is a comedian who did a set on the fact that Bill Cosby had raped a lot of women. And after that, somebody recorded that set and it went viral, and then a bunch of people like started coming forward again with their allegations
and
against
then
Bill Cosby. So really he's the guy who single-handedly took down Bill Cosby.
So where was this? R. Kelly.
Yeah, he's a rapist.
So
uncle.
Yeah, just remember. Have that in the back of your head.
Always have that in the back of your head.
I guess that's a broader like music question. Like, do you divorce we don't have to go into it, but do you divorce artists from their work?
Sometimes, sometimes not.
All right, and it's like on what basis and why? And I feel like it's always
it's weird because R. Kelly's subject matter in his songs is always so sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Like his most recent album that he's promoting, and that's why he's like doing this and going on basketball games or whatever. It's called Buffet, and I just think of a buffet of fucking little children, and it's disgusting.
Oh no!
Or like before, like he had this album called Black Panties, and the next one was like White Panties, and I'm just like, do they have Barney on the cover? You're fucking disgusting.
God.
Yeah, like I can't. So I just can't.
Yeah, but other people can. Other people don't even.
Remix to Ignition, Hot and Fresh Out of the Kitchen. It's a great song.
Oh my God. That was R. Kelly.
Dave Chappelle remixed.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But just keep that in the back of your mind. That's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Just when you think R. Kelly, think child
molester. Pedophile.
All right. So now on to our next segment.
Fuck it!
All right, so today's topic is dating apps.
Yeah.
We got mad shit.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Sam, you...
I guess we can talk about our different approaches.
Yeah.
You want to do
Let's start
first?
There, and then we can delve into it.
Okay.
Because you're...
We had a little beef this week. We had a very brief text falling out, because I just didn't know what Shake was talking about. I thought you wanted to make the entire podcast about, like, dating while black.
No.
And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was also, like, making potato salad at the time, so I wasn't, like, fully devoting my attention to your text. But I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Sometimes we have slam pow beefs.
they're always very short. Yeah, so personally, so the dating apps that I've used,
yes.
I've been Tinder, and I used SoulSwipe.
You want to explain what SoulSwipe is?
It's just, like, a black version of Tinder.
Yeah, it's black Tinder.
I think it's very funny because usually when I'm on Tinder, I usually match with I match with the black guys that I swipe, like most of them.
Same.
And it was weird on SoulSwipe.
No, none of them match with you. It's like you become ugly. It's very weird.
Like, wait.
Yeah, it's like, am I not attractive?
Because blackness itself, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this because I'm black.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
then
it's so true. It's like if you're like in like an office environment or whatever, and everyone's white, and you just are friends with the black person. But if everyone's black, it's like, fuck, you're I'm like, actually socially
exactly.
awkward.
Exactly.
And I'm not that great of a person. I'm not gonna make any friends
I'm terrible,
here.
I'm the nerd. Yeah. So that's what I.
Yeah.
That's my level of experience with it. Yeah. I used it a little while ago for fun, I guess, mm-hmm. just to chill around.
Mm-hmm. Chill around.
I don't even know what I meant to say. And then I got onto Soul Swipe for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not on often, and my conversations have been brief. And I am the fuckboy that just is gone for like 2 weeks, comes back and is like, oh hey. But I don't pull the shit where I'm like, I didn't see this. I'm just like,
yeah, let's talk about
that. Just continue.
Let's save that for types of types. Okay. I guess my experience. Since I've been open as polyamorous or whatever, maybe like a couple months after I started using Tinder, usually just go on when I'm taking a shit, honestly. Because it's just like, you can't really get into Octavia Butler while you're taking a shit. So you gotta just, you need something quite quick. Soul Swipe, same, but I just wasn't getting matches. And also I think the app is like buggy and annoying. So I haven't been on that in a couple of months. And then for the sake of this episode, I downloaded Plenty of Fish. God awful, terrible, but I guess we can get into that later. It's a piece of shit. Okay Cupid, better looking, but still god awful. Just like inundated with just assholes and creeps. What else? And then I think Bumble I used last night.
Never heard of that.
I'll get into that later. And I think that's all of them or whatever. Oh yeah, and then Bay I had used once before because I just wanted to see what it was about, and then I re-downloaded it for this episode. And Bay is similar to Soul Swipe, and that's like a black Tinder. There's a lot to unpack within the topic of dating apps, so we're primarily going to talk about like the environment of dating apps.
Because like it's very being rich. On, swiping through, talking
exactly.
to people.
Yeah. So do you want to start off with blackness?
Yeah. Whoa.
Okay.
Talk about, yeah, just briefly.
I feel like
black dating, the idea of black dating apps and what they're supposed to accomplish and do.
Uh-huh. I'd like to just start off, but we're not going to go too much into this, or maybe we will. Yes, we will. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that black women are shitted on Tinder.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the overarching reason why maybe
a lot of these experiences,
these soul swipes and bays and melds even exist in the first like
to
place.
Create, I guess in theory, safe spaces.
Yeah,
for
black women are shitted on, and then black men, from what I've heard, don't really get matches that much mm-hmm. on places like Tinder.
Which that makes sense. Like that's why you would want to have
exactly.
an exclusively. Like a race specific app, because there's obviously there's clear racism. Like people are racist. And
yeah,
they don't want to do apps.
Right.
They continue to be racist.
Exactly.
And
it doesn't
you
stop.
Try to create a safe space within that. Realm.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it actually, because I was thinking about it, I'm like, how necessary is it? Because it doesn't shield you from
creeps.
Same creeps. And
it shields
also,
you from a specific type of creepiness.
Yeah, it's
racist
like a race, but you can also
or like exotification creepiness.
Yeah. But you can still have, what is it? You can't be, not a racist black people, but people who are racially insensitive or classist and like,
gotcha.
Who are against Black Lives Matter and are just like, the whole, I call them the pull up your pants crowd.
Yeah. Respectability, politics, love in, black folk, Uncle Toms, if you will.
Yeah. That like
Coons,
that.
As they say.
So I guess you won't get like a Klan member. But you'll get like you'll get a hotep nigga.
You can definitely get that. Personally, I'm not okay with that, but like that's like I'd rather do that than that,
Yeah. Which makes but it's difficult because if you're a black person and you don't just you want to date multiple races, you want to date outside of your race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then SoulSwipe is not for you.
So SoulSwipe won't work for you.
If you're solely using SoulSwipe.
Yeah, you have to.
And then, like, brief aside, there are, like, white guys and stuff like that on SoulSwipe anyway.
Oh,
but they kind of creep me out. Because I feel like you're
fetishizing
black
women. Because you're there for the...
Yeah, exactly.
Which, then it doesn't do what you want. Because I don't know if you... Do you want the white guy who's on SoulSwipe?
No, I don't.
I wouldn't be interested.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, can you...
He's probably
like,
a wigger, honestly.
And I wonder... A what?
Wigger.
A wigger? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not interested in that. At all.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely not.
I didn't think about it.
I considered it for
she
a moment.
She thought about it for a second.
And I guess that's also dating, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, you don't know. And yeah. You can't really shield yourself from assholes. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Several of these fuckboys. Mm-hmm. It's only two. I thought some of them
There's
were
There's a
nice.
World out there, though.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
About what?
I don't know.
Nah, I wasn't.
Yeah.
You can keep going.
Lost it.
Well,
black dating
okay.
apps.
Well, for me, experiential. Mm-hmm. That's not a word.
It is.
Wise. Oh, is it?
Or experience-wise.
Experience-wise. Make it a little more simple. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have a preference for SoulSwipe because I don't get matches on SoulSwipe, and it makes me feel ugly, honestly.
Yeah.
That's, like, pretty much
I didn't
it.
Get any
and then
matches.
I don't like the app. People don't often mm-hmm. respond, and then it's buggy. But so many of the fucking people I've seen on SoulSwipe, I see on Tinder anyway.
I was just going to say, I matched with a guy from Tinder, like, months ago, who I then matched with again on SoulSwipe.
Yeah.
And who I then, like...
Just making the rounds.
Who I then, like ignored in conversation again. I left him on Tinder and he was eating cereal. I left him on SoulSwipe and he was with his cat. He's very beautiful.
He wasn't doing interesting stuff.
But he was
He's being
he's
fucking
so
boring.
Pretty.
Yeah, that's happened to me several times. He was pretty. Send him my way. If you're not interested.
Like Tinder, I feel like also matches just pile up. But that's for the experience
Oh,
part.
Good. Yeah, okay.
Just too
yeah,
much.
Yeah. But then on Tinder, I usually swipe right for black guys. I swipe right for black guys more than I swipe white. A pun there.
Yeah, I wonder, because some of the white guys just don't. But also some of the black guys are, you know, they're just not
reasoning.
Doing it.
I have my reasoning. I'm attracted to all races or whatever. My reasoning is, one, I'm trying to shield myself from, do you date white guys? Because that shit is boring. It's annoying. Don't
and
fucking ask
if
me.
If I swipe right, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with the shit. I guess more so nowadays I've kind of, like, I used to be attracted to white guys more than black guys when I was, like, an Oreo in, like, high school or whatever, and just, like, self-hating or whatever, but I think that I've kind of trained myself to be more attractive to black men now because I don't want to deal with what, sorry, but most white people have to say, because if most white people were racially progressive, then our country wouldn't be in the state that we're in right now, so I'm just assuming that most white people aren't racially progressive, and I don't want to be with that. And then oftentimes, white guys don't match me either. So it's like, I know that you don't like me. So
totally, yeah.
I don't like you. Yeah.
Let's go into
I think
types of people you'd find.
People you find?
And
okay,
we
let's
can,
be a little funny about it.
Yeah, then we'll get into all their behaviors.
Okay.
All
right. All right, so these are just things that I have written down, and you're free to chime in.
Yeah.
So I think the worst person... these are all terrible people. So I experience these people oftentimes on Tinder or whatever, but... I use Tinder the most. They're also on OkCupid and Plenty of Fish or whatever. So they'll have in their bio the fact that they're a sapiosexual, quote unquote, and that basically means that you're attracted to someone with intelligence. And, like, they'll have that in their profile, and they'll be like, I'm in search of deep conversation, so don't talk if you can't hold a conversation or whatever. And then I'm like, all right. I mean, I don't actively try to talk to those people, but if they talk to me and they're cute, I'm with the shit.
Yeah.
So... I think I'm a pretty good conversationalist or whatever. Even if I'm just trying to fuck, I don't really do that much in my house. So I'm open to a conversation or
yeah.
whatever, and I'm ready to carry it out. And they'll just be like, hey, chillin'.
Exactly. It's never.
Well, you called yourself a fucking sapiosexual, but you're a dick. And you have nothing.
Like,
you're not that smart.
Like, if you're a sapio, like, think, like, what, not even, like, what is the state of our society, but, like, why don't you be interesting?
Yeah.
Like, have an action.
Exactly.
Fucking prepare something.
Yeah. So I'm going to recount this story. So out of all of the bullshit, this story that I told you earlier, out of all of the people on fucking, OkCupid. Both Plenty of Fish and OkCupid are inundated with creeps and dicks and just like I made Plenty of Fish at night and I got like a ton of messages instantly or whatever.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, let me just go through. I'm not going to respond to all of them, but I at least
want
to see all of them. So I have something to talk about in the podcast. I was up for like 4 hours, not like constantly doing it or whatever, but it took me 4 hours to like get through it. And as of right now on Plenty of Fish, I have 99 unread messages.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And so for
That's
control
a lot.
Or variable, whatever, science, Akeem has 3 unread messages, or he had when I checked his or whatever, and 2 of them were from robots inviting him
to
like
a party.
Yeah.
What
so
the
there's
hell?
Like
That's very
I don't
strange.
Think it's that I'm that attractive or that Akeem's that unattractive or whatever, or that men are that thirsty and women are that unthirsty, there's something fucking up with their algorithm
like
that. Like they are not doing well as a site. Because that's crazy. That's way too much for me. And then he gets nothing.
Yeah, you're not, you can't make it through all of that.
I wonder,
I'm very curious to know, like, what's behind.
What?
Like, is it, like, are you, like a minority on the site and they're like, oh, we got to boost our diversity ratings.
I had to get the black profiles out.
Well,
I was talking to some of my friends and I was just like, how do you guys do this? This shit sucks. Like, there's too many fish. There are literally plenty of fish. And they're just like, they just deal with it and delete the messages from creeps, basically, or whatever.
I wasn't deleting messages
uh-huh. because of the sake of this, so I can go back and read stuff. But if I was, everybody would have been blocked. Like, fucking, it was too much. There's so much.
That's like, I guess that's another, I feel like, downfall of dating apps. I feel like it felt like a chore to keep
it
up.
It totally is.
To keep
it's
up with
conversation.
Or at least, you know, you have to commit to every time you take a shit, you go on an app. Like, it becomes like a...
Take a lot of shits.
You know what I mean? Like if you're working, you got to get up every 5 minutes and, like, yeah. do like some sort of stretch.
Exactly.
Like, I just... It's like when you have too many people texting you.
Yeah.
And then too many
that's
people
exactly
on your
what
Tinder.
It is. That's exactly what it is. All right, so I'm just going to read this guy's profile. And then... So I feel like he's kind of like the faux sapiosexual. So he's like, in his self-summary, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I love intellectual conversation. So that's all I'll say.
It's condescending. Sorry.
That is condescending.
It's complete condescending.
That is condescending. And he also says, I'm all for girls with rules. If you know you're easy, pump the brakes. Don't message me. So I'll just leave you guys with those two things. And then I'll go into the great conversation that we had. All right. So I'm like, I message him on Thanksgiving. I'm like, happy Thanksgiving. How's it going? He's like, great, period. Thanks, period. And yourself? Question mark, question mark. Pretty good. Just spending the day in the kitchen. Sounds great, LOL. And then it just gets bad. LOL, it's pretty good. I'm ready to eat, though. How about you? What are you up to? At work, period. Are you there all day? Your drawings are dope, by the way. Thanks. And nah, I leave at 4:30. So he's like not really reciprocating anything back to me.
And if he's busy, you could easily just be like, hey, at work, I'll hit you up later.
Yeah. And this is when it gets really weird. This is when it gets really dry. It got so dry so fast. Oh, that's good. How long have you been drawing for? Since Pokemon? And I'm like, let me just match you some, like, great inspiration. And then he's like, yep, period. And then I'm like, oh, this guy's not interested, but let me delve further so I have something to talk about on the podcast. So I'm like, fave Pokemon? And he's like, Onyx. That's all he fucking says.
Oh,
he doesn't even ask me back. And then I'm like, what other animes do you watch? And he's like, have you started watching One Punch Man? And I'm like, no, my brother's trying to put me on. And then all of a sudden he's like, you should watch it with me. Which is, you should fuck me.
Exactly.
You should have sex
How
with me.
How dare
you? Even though he just said in his profile,
if
I'm
you
not
can't
for
hold
easy
a
girls.
Conversation.
Yeah, if you can't hold a conversation, which he can't. And then he says, I'm not for easy girls,
you
so pump
watch.
The brakes.
Anything with me is...
Exactly.
With my dick.
Right. So me, I am my dick. And then I'm like, I might take you up on that one day because I'm a hoe and I still would fuck him even now.
Hey.
And he's like, you name it, period.
So it did work. It worked out fine.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to get the dick, I'm pretty sure I can get
right,
the dick.
Close by.
But like, and that's what was like jarring to me about these two dating apps. Like, they're dating apps. They're not just hookup apps. Like, in the
and
way
that
Tinder
And that's what
that
is. Was. That was a hookup invitation.
Yeah, that was a hookup invitation and conversation. Exactly.
Oh, and, like, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
Is I think that people go on to dating apps instead of hookup apps because they want more serious people, but they're not serious themselves.
They're not serious at all. No one is serious. I let two guys. Okay, I let one guy from a dating app, since this experiment, come through to my text or whatever. I don't even know why I did it. So he's, like, saying all of these, like, datey type things or whatever, like, as if he actually respects me as a person and doesn't just want to fuck.
Oh,
And then eventually, I think it was, like, Friday morning or whatever, I wake up and I get a text from him and he's like, oh, good morning. I'm like, good morning. And he's like, I'm still in bed. What are you doing? And I'm like, fucking around the house or whatever because I was dancing.
Oh, so you were fucking around the house?
Yeah, I was literally fucking around the house. And then he's like, yeah, I should get up too, but I'm too horny and tired.
Too horny and tired? Yeah. How early was it?
It was like 11. I don't wake up that fucking early. And then I'm like, that's unfortunate. And then he's like, yeah, but I don't jack off. So I'm in a bit of a pickle or something like that.
Oh my god!
Like, nigga, I don't.
That's so funny.
It's as if the next thing I was supposed to say was, "Well, let me come over and take care of that for you, daddy." But that wasn't what was gonna happen.
It's a weird way to flirt. It's just like I just so happen. That's to have another this thing. Problem.
None of these people can flirt. It's just always just like it's either immediately weird text messages like you should have sex with me, or do you want to have sex, or do you want to be friends with benefits, or it's like, hey. What's up? How are you doing? And then you'll like say how are you doing, and then they won't respond to how you're doing, and then
for
all
like
of
a
sudden,
week or so.
No, immediately they won't respond to what you just said. But then the next thing will be, do you want to hang out?
Which is,
do you want to fuck? Exactly.
Any
like
proximity.
Finesse it a little bit.
Yeah, like if you're gonna be doing this, like if you're gonna like commit to it,
really commit.
Even just have like a fucking take 5 minutes, write out just like a stock.
Exactly.
Answer to things, you know?
Well, that's one of the bad things. The stock answers. Hold on, let me find this guy.
But, like, it's something that you can at least...
That's the thing. Okay, tailor. It's not stock answers so much as stock statements, and then you'll respond because I'm a human being and I'm going to respond to what you say to me, and then they won't respond to what you just said. What's your favorite color? Green. Yours? Wanna fuck? Like, they won't respond to what you just said or the question that you just asked
them. It's like
them.
When people ask, like, you know, how is your day? Or how are you? But they don't care.
They don't care. They don't care. But then, they don't even try to pretend like they care. So then don't ask me. Because then it's just like doing something, but you don't really do it right.
Yeah.
You just put in effort for no reason.
I think it may be useful to just ask, like, hey, what are you looking to get out of this?
Oh, I hate that. I actually hate that question.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because I just guess. I get it. I get asked that question so often, and it really depends on the person. Some people seem nice, and maybe I'd like to go on a date with you. Some people look nice, and I just want to fuck you. Some people are ugly, and I...
You don't want anything.
Maybe a nice conversation.
So then how do you make sure that your expectations... I guess just have a normal fucking conversation.
Yeah, just be a person, and that's fine.
That's what it is. Be normal.
Yeah, I think that's how most people like get into sexual situations with people.
You just like okay.
Yeah, you just talk to them for a little bit.
So that's how you make sure that your expectations are on the same plane. That you're
exactly
down with
each other. You don't have to rush into it. It doesn't. It definitely doesn't have to start off with it.
Let
just
it naturally
like,
evolve.
Yeah.
Be human. If you're gonna start using these apps,
become a human being. Step one. And that's, so in this document that we have here, I wrote in entitlement and expectations. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's definitely, like, the expectation aspect of it all. Like, people really expect, just like, once you're on a dating app, you want to date them. And you want to fuck them. Immediately.
And it's not true. Because, you know.
Yeah, that, I'm here to look.
Exactly. You're checking people
out. And to, like, scope out. Exactly.
Oh, man. Wait, that's a really good point, I think. Because I think even, there is totally this assumption that this person has swiped me, therefore they want to fuck me. But
yeah.
I want to get more information beyond what you put down on your shittily written profile.
Yeah, and your bio always sucks bad. Your bio always fucking sucks. They're very like bully on these websites, and they're very
bullies and like
they bully you. Yeah, they bully you, and they emotionally bully you, and they guilt trip you. So it's like. There'll be, and this is, like, usually only on OkCupid and Plenty of Fish, it'll be, like, several messages in a row. Like, if I didn't fucking respond to the first one, why are you still messaging me? But then the last message will be, like, okay, guess not. Or guess I wasn't cute enough for you. Or guess I don't have a good joke enough for, like, just something stupid like that. What the fuck?
You're not gonna bully me into liking you.
Exactly. That's the last thing that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's like weird last-ditch efforts.
It's just you're trying... I think they're trying to reestablish power.
That's exactly what they're doing. And I feel like that all ties into misogyny.
Totally. Absolutely.
Like, at the bottom line, that's like... Like, I feel like dating apps in general and the internet and the perceived anonymity of it all makes people more comfortable with bullying people. Mm-hmm. But I don't hear things about guys getting that from women on dating apps. So it's like a pot of everything mixed together with misogyny being the fucking main ingredient as per usual.
And then just playing out on these apps. Like this is the
Exactly.
This is the Yeah. Are there safe spaces? There are none.
Nope. It's just, never has been.
They're all microphones.
There never have been.
Yeah, I think ultimately
I'm deleting all of these apps afterwards.
I don't think
except for maybe Bumble. The guys are kind of hot. Good. Yeah, so Bumble...
Let me see pictures.
Yeah. So Bumble was created... I have this little thing about Bumble. All right, so Bumble is pretty much... It's like an equivalent to Tinder. It was created by the co-founder of Tinder, who was a woman, who actually left Tinder after she was being sexually harassed by the other, like the CMO or something like that of Tinder.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Yeah, so the point of Bumble is that women message first, basically. That's like the only point. Like, you can't message a woman unless she messages you first. And if she doesn't message you after you've like made a match, then you just go away. She has to do it within 24 hours. Yeah, so Shanika's looking at Bumble right now, and she just, like, showed me the phone and gave a not bad face, because the guys are fucking not bad. And I feel like it's, like, a classist thing. Like, I don't know where...
It's pretty... We're studying and traveling.
I don't know where Bumble is being marketed, but they're marketing, like, young professionals.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Like, people it's have... a lot of white guys, and I feel it like that's like, just because I've of the way class breaks down in America. But there's young black professionals, too, and they're all fucking gorgeous, and all of their pictures look really nice, as opposed to, like, the pictures on... Plenty of Fish, where it's like the selfie is taken like from underneath and it's like mad dark and it's all blurry and shit like that. Like, these guys know how to take some fucking pictures. Like, they're like Instagrams would be on fleek.
It's like at least well exposed.
It's well, that's all you need.
That's really the basis
Give
of a picture.
Give me some light, please. Like what the fuck?
That's the basis of like cinematography. Photography exactly. is light. On a subject. Exactly. If there is no light, you are not taking a picture.
Exactly.
Nothing is happening.
Please get that through your heads. Like, fucking get your shit together, man. Mm. We'll play a little game about what we like later. Ooh. Everybody looks good on Bumble.
Yowza.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got a couple of matches, so, God, it's like there's some fake
right
accounts
this?
In there. Yeah, swipe right on everybody you think is attractive. Yeah. So it's been going well on Bumble so far. Ooh. I might just keep that one, and then everything else I'll delete. Yeah. I got, like, into a mild sexting situation with this kid Ooh. Yesterday from Bumble. It was so weird, because I was like, what did I say? Oh, fuck, I don't remember. We were making I was making a joke or whatever, and I just said, I'm just fucking around with you, LOL.
Got you one. That's Sam and Connection.
A match. I was like, I was just fucking around with you, LOL, and the kid says, ah, don't say LOL. It's a pet peeve of mine. Sorry about that. And I'm just like...
Don't say LOL?
He told me not to say LOL.
Don't police my fucking language. Like, what?
I was like, should I just curse him out or carry on? And I carried on because he was, like, the only one who was talking in that hour. And then he just started talking about, like, face sitting and stuff like that. So I'm gonna go sit on his face on Wednesday.
You know, are you?
Hopefully.
Oh, shit,
He's, like,
yeah.
nearby and
Wait,
stuff.
Wait, is there a picture? I just want to see his...
Yeah, I want to see
him.
Yeah.
See that face you're gonna sit on?
Yeah. He's cute to me.
That's great.
He's a white guy. That's fine.
I'm dating a white guy.
Are you?
I have the eyes.
He looks, like, smoldery and stuff like that. So he's Italian and Puerto
Rican. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
I see
I'm
going
to sit on his face. Have a great time sitting
it.
On his face.
You won't see his face.
Yeah. So good thing that I carried on after that LOL thing. Because
sometimes
could have went a different direction.
Matter,
I was like, why are you being rude to me?
But you know
but
what?
I didn't say that. I just didn't respond to that. But then I didn't say LOL for the rest
again.
Of the time.
Yeah.
I feel like just a very small part of me kind of liked it. Like, oh, yeah. Tell me what to do. Just a little bit. Like, it was condescending, but I don't know.
I think that's...
He has nice lips. I was doing research for the podcast.
Oh, my God. No, it's just, well...
Shout out to Bumble.
Because, like, yeah.
Do you want to touch on bullying really briefly?
Bullying?
Yeah. So, like, in the vein of bullying, one thing, like, during my research that I found out that I thought was pretty disgusting. So, apparently, people... Like, one of the memes is that people will write in their profiles, no fatties, no trannies, or whatever, mm-hmm. which is just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
but people will actually report the accounts of transgender people on Tinder, like, saying that they're being abusive or whatever when they're being themselves. And those accounts will actually get deleted because they're being reported so many times.
Wow.
Yeah. Very fucked up.
Because you think it's... I guess Tinder sees it as a problem. It's
exactly.
Like
they're just
bothered
yeah,
by
they're
it.
Just mindlessly taking it. Like, if everybody's reporting this account, must be something wrong with it. But no, our society's just fucked up. So there's this app called... Sorry. There's this app called Thirst that came out, I guess, in August or something like that. Yeah, T-H-U-R-S-T. And that's specifically for, and I didn't download it because I didn't want to, like, intrude on people's safe space. Although people who are cisgender and straight
can see
easily it. Date yeah. transgender and totally. Gender nonconforming people. But it's specifically for transgender, gender nonconforming queer people.
Gotcha. Yeah. Wow. That's...
I don't know how poppin' it is, but if anyone who's listening has ever used it,
yeah, let us know what you think.
So by the time you're listening to this, I think this will be 2 days before World AIDS Day.
Mm.
Yeah. World AIDS Day is December 1st.
Okay.
Yeah. So this organization put out this video with a bunch of HIV positive gay men. I think it was like in England or something like that, where they're like they disclose the fact that they're HIV positive either in their profile or, like, very soon after they message people. And then, like, in the video, it just recounts all of the terrible shit that people have said to, like, these people and stuff like that. And then it, like, gives the guys giving, like, really witty, fun comebacks or whatever. And it's, like, super cute. But it's also, like, damn, I wish you really didn't have to go through that because that's so fucked up. Yeah. Like, it's, like, this is why people don't want to talk about their status. Like, why are you bullying someone for being upfront and forward about it?
Exactly. They're saying, you know, I'm going to let you know.
Exactly.
I have this.
And then in turn, people are like, they were saying things like, you deserve it for being a slut or whatever, or not into HIV positive guys. Sorry. Like, just unmatch me. Like, you didn't have to tell me that or whatever.
You're going out of your way to be hateful.
Exactly.
And that happens in real life, and that's going to happen on these fucking apps.
Yeah.
Because there's no asshole filter.
I feel like that's why these apps suck, and, like, that's why the internet sucks, because people suck, but it's just so concentrated.
Yeah.
Like, this is a place where it can be so concentrated. So we'll probably have a,
we can have dating apps part two.
Three, four, five. So there's so much to talk about. That was just the environment of dating apps and how they're fucking seedy, underground, disgusting hubs.
That was really
of
just
humanity. Like, I feel filthy.
You feel filthy?
I'm so done with them.
It's taxing, especially since you were doing it
in
such a short period of time, you know? The research. Every time we say research, we've been air quoting, by the way.
Yeah.
It's always air quotes.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
Not much, but people really like it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no. Remember when I was like, we don't know what this is, but you're going to like it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
So that concludes the segment. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
And now, moving on to...
Fuck me! Yeah, we got it right.
So, this is the segment where we talk about what's going on in
our personal whole lives.
So, I guess in my life, so I guess what I really enjoy about our show, if I can just toot our horns, is just that I think we're super realistic about what our experiences are. And, like, you know, in Sam's case, like, being, not that being polyamorous is, like, easy and it's just gonna be like, let's date other people right away and it's all gonna be great. I don't know if anyone's expecting that. Not that I was maybe my expectations for how my relationship would go, my relationship with my boyfriend would go, were kind of just like, oh, he said it was fine, so we're good.
Yeah.
I think, because my boyfriend is hurt by this relationship. And he just, not, I don't say like hurt, like it's bringing up some insecurities in our relationship and revealing kind of holes in our communication.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I'm good at reading, like, John's very honest and I can read John's body language very well. But, you know, I guess I haven't really been paying attention to when he may feel pressured to agree something, not particularly by me, but by kind of who he wants to be. And, like, because he wants to be more comfortable and more okay, and he ideologically does not believe that he owns my body, and he wants to become a person who is, you know, very not actively polyamorous in his life, but at least, you know, not as bothered or, like, hurt by it as he is, because he feels like it reflects just some weird patriarchal thing that he's uncomfortable that, you know, that he has them. You know, he's feeling a little hurt and he's upset by the way he's feeling. And I've chosen to just to not actively pursue anybody because, like, when, you know, I don't feel like loins are and a burning left and right.
Yeah.
And even if they were, it's I value, you know, working through this and keeping our communication good and steady and solid and mm-hmm. seeing how this evolves for us and as, you know, us as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just chill. I'm just being mad chill. So I'm not actively hoeing. That's what it comes down to.
Not on the block.
I mean, I was about to just like be like, you know, but if you want to message me, you can.
Yeah.
I guess as it progresses, mm-hmm. I can give updates on kind of what we learn about each other and mm-hmm. how things can go and just, yeah, honesty isn't, you know, honesty isn't always easy. People are just like
very hard.
Always be honest. But, you know, being honest sometimes hurts you and it hurts somebody else. And,
yeah.
But I think it's better off to say, hey, I'm having these feelings versus not bringing them up at all. And then resentment can build and then things get shitty. And I feel like that's the reason why people break up and people fight. And
exactly.
There's no need for that. Just if you're gonna hurt somebody, just don't intend to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
I feel like I don't have that much to say this week. I guess I can talk on a conversation that I had with Akeem. But the first thing, I'm just gonna read this. It was an entire week of dating apps. I wrote this in our document. I said, I hate them. I hate most people. Which has always been true, but sometimes I just re-realize it. And then I said, might take a break from being a hoe unless hoe bait knocks on my door. Did you bold that?
Yes, I did. I thought you'd notice.
Not actively seeking being a hoe, though, which is pretty much true. I mean, I'm going to delete all of these apps, and then I'm not really going to actively seek being a hoe because it's cold. And, like, post-Thanksgiving, all my farts smell like potato salad and shit like that.
Gosh.
So it's just not a good time. But by Wednesday, that should be cleared up. I'll sit on this kid's face, and then it'll be it, you know.
Let me just get one more face in and close the shop.
He was like hoe bait knocking on my door. Like, I was on Bumble really just to research Bumble. It was late last night.
Yeah, totally.
And then he said, what are you doing on this app? And I said, tomorrow's podcast episode is about dating apps. Figured I'd do a little research. If I get a date or a hookup out of it, comma, even better. And he said, is that an offer? And I was like, oh, what the shit? Can't turn that down.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that'll be it. And then in terms of like me and Akeem and stuff like that, so my family doesn't know I'm polyamorous, even mm-hmm. though I write about it on my Facebook all the time. Hey. And they follow me on Facebook.
They don't care.
But most of Akeem's family knows, except for his grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling me about how a couple of weeks ago he had this woman come over his house, and she came over with treats, which kind of pissed me off because it just felt too intimate or whatever. But, you know, that's just you working. I wasn't just like, well, don't tell them not to bring treats anymore or whatever. I felt the jealousy or whatever. And yeah. I was like, okay, let me work through it. And then it also kind of bothered me because he saw his grandma. And I just feel like a grandma is an intimate person. Like, she saw them, like, going downstairs together to have sex. So it's just like, so strange. But she doesn't know that he's polyamorous or whatever. So, what if she hears me right now? We're in his house. No, she's not home.
But, she's next door.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then I'm like, oh, man, do you think, like, she heard you guys having sex or whatever? And he was like, no, she's a heavy sleeper. But the girl was loud at times. But then I put the pillow over her face. Yeah, we got into a lot of detail. It was, like, one of the most in-depth discussions we've had.
Detail.
Like, he was telling me about, like, people who give head better than me or whatever. Like, this particular girl. She gives head. She makes treats. What the fuck? I don't like her. No, I'm kidding.
So how do you respond to something like that? Gives head better than you?
I'm just like, well, damn, that hurts. Well, I asked what she did or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, she has no gag reflex. So it's just like, nope.
Oh.
Stick with her, because it won't be me. I'll throw up on your dick and be unapologetic about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's someone who can give you something that
I exactly.
Can.
That I literally
so
can't
fine.
Offer.
Awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's intense. I don't know if
we
I
We were just
ever...
getting into it. I mean, it's been building or whatever. Like, we've been doing this for months now.
It's
so
awesome,
it's just
though.
Like
it's working out.
Feeling it out. I told him who had a better dick than him, but I said the dick wasn't great, though, even though it was big. Akeem walked in. It's so meta.
Now.
It's so strange. Why are you in here? Okay. All right, so Akeem stepped in, but now he's out, so I can talk shit about him again.
Talk about his dick, Sam. Talk about his dick.
Yeah, that dick wasn't a good dick, but it was bigger than Akeem's dick. So we were just being very honest with each other or whatever. So then he tells me that his mom told him that his grandma had a dream that he was, like, fucking other women, and she, like, went very Jamaican grandma about it, and she was like, no, Akeem, you can't do it, or whatever. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. That should be very interesting. Yeah. I told him, like, if you're gonna keep bringing, like, random-ass girls who have never been in this house before and just bring them downstairs,
it's gonna be
your grandma's
obvious.
Not fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like at like 8 o'clock at night, right? Or whatever. Like you're
she's your friend, sex. Why isn't she in the kitchen? You know?
Right, exactly.
She can't be in the living room?
Why does she have so much perfume on or whatever? Why is her vagina out? Why is your dick hard? Exactly.
She can just spot it. You're aroused, young man. What's going on?
Turning from Jamaican to like whatever the fuck that is. Scottish. I don't know.
Oh wow, I didn't even know I did an accent. And now for our final segment,
Fuck You! Okay, so for our first question, you want to read the one from Tim?
Yeah, I'll read Tim's. So Tim is 23. Thank you, sir. It's good to have guys send things in.
Yeah.
One of my favorite elements of the show, thank you. One of my favorite elements of the show is how openly and honestly you talk about polyamory. My question is, how do you go about establishing a mutually beneficial dynamic like this with someone you care for and simultaneously keep it mutually respectful and psychologically healthy? Is it important to set boundaries or rules like, hey, if you happen to sleep with anyone, just tell me, or is it better to leave it as an unspoken thing? I ask, because at this point in my life, like nearly everyone our age, I am in no position to settle down and I'm happily exploring, discovering my sexuality, safely of course. Yet the last thing I'd want is to emotionally damage someone because I happen to also desire physical affection from more than one partner. It's not that no single person can ever be good enough for me, it's just that I'm still figuring out what I like and don't like. Generally, my mindset is that if I'm not exclusively dating someone, what she does with other men is none of my business, and I prefer not knowing about it, which is probably selfish of me, I admit. With that being said, how have you maintained healthy polyamorous relations? What can I do as an individual to be a conscientious and fulfilling partner?
I think noted this is, question.
Yeah.
He has so many things.
Yeah. Very good question.
Thank you.
And I think there's also there's a lot of positivity here. I think it's I think if you're approaching,
you're already on the right track.
Exactly,
because you
right?
care enough to ask these questions.
And also saying how do I my question is, how do you go about establishing a mutually beneficial dynamic like this with someone you care for? The fact that you care for that person.
Yeah.
You want it to be mutually beneficial. That's how you start.
Exactly.
So great. And I know I just said what you said, but I just wanted to take it from exactly
highlight
that.
It. Highlight it.
Pull out quotes of gold from this.
Yeah. So you want to start with the first question? How do I go about establishing a mutually beneficial dynamic with someone you care for and simultaneously keep it mutually respectful and psychologically healthy?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of, like, establishing the dynamic, just bring it up. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You just have to talk about it. From personal experience, I kind of was felt like I wanted to fuck other guys for some time in my life. Like,
me too.
since I was born. I think me and Akeem had a discussion about it like a couple of years ago when we were at one of his aunt's house, and I was just like, can we have an MMF threesome? Because I want some other dick. And he like got really mad about it or whatever, and I didn't bring it up again. And then, I don't know, we both became feminists and shit, and everything was cool. But specifically, like, this year, so this podcast called Negroes with a Podcast did an episode, that's and fun. one of their hosts of that podcast is polyamorous, and they had another guest who was polyamorous on, and they just talked about polyamory, and I was like, hey, so did you hear that episode of Negroes with a Podcast this week? Like, so that's, like, an easy way to bring it out to someone or whatever. You can, like, offer a piece of media or send them, like, a link to a video, send them a link to this podcast, maybe. Whatever, like, easy, or if you're bold about it, you can just, like, bring it up as, hey, this is polyamory, this is something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about it? It doesn't automatically have to be, like, let's do it, let's be in an open relationship or whatever, but, you know, kind of just, like, gauge it out with each other and do some reading about it or whatever.
Totally. I think for my situation, or how I got into it, because I'd also been interested in it. I guess when you said that you and Akeem had established it, that's when I was like, okay, let me try it officially. Although, not really. I guess that's when I revisited it with John, with intentions of actually
carrying it out.
But like, I had had a crush on that that other fuckboy of 4 years. I was like, I guess I wanted to. I was having feelings for him.
Yeah.
And I was feeling very guilty about it.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I felt like I was betraying our relationship. So I, and I, like, crushing the feelings wasn't working.
Yeah.
He's very attracted to this person, good personality, very cute. Oh, there's a lot that I like about this guy. Anyway. and I was like, okay, if these feelings aren't going to go away. And in fact, I felt, I had these feelings of guilt that I felt were also making my relationship, me feel bad about my relationship with John. Because I felt like, here I am, liking other people, feeling bad about my relationship. Am I being a shitty girlfriend? Am I this? So this is kind of my way of just being open about, you know, how I was feeling, just acknowledging that these things were existing and that, you know, I would like to pursue them. And I guess it's kind of hard, though, because what do you do if a person just out front says, you know, no, I'm not comfortable with that? You, like, you can, and I guess that's kind of, I guess that's like a, I don't say like a make or breaking point, because then you
for some people it is. It is because you just take it from there. It's like, do I love this person enough to continue and stifle that part of myself, or
do I not? Or do I or do I just want to stay as true to me as possible?
Yeah,
and so it's kind of hard because, like, you know, how do I go about establishing this relationship?
Yeah,
it may not be possible.
Yeah.
For your relationship, and I guess you have to be willing to, like, know that going in.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a, it's a small risk, you know, but I don't think it's, and also I think it's how, the way you approach it, like you said, like you can send them a piece of media or like if you think your partner may have an insecurity about that, which I found out that my boyfriend did, because I told him I had these feelings and he feels like these feelings are related to like something that he's not doing right. You know, he feels like he's not fulfilling certain things.
In general, polyamory, like that's not what it's about. Like if, if you're, if you are desiring an open relationship, most people who, like, are in it don't do it because they're unsatisfied with their partner or whatever. It's about wanting more, not liking what you have.
Exactly, yeah. It's like I just...
And then I use the term have loosely because I don't own these people.
Exactly. And I think that's why John is for it, because he's like, I don't, you know, I don't own you.
Yeah.
And I tell him, like, you know, I don't... I can... I'll just stop. Like, that's how, I guess, personally, I'm the person who is, like... Like, you know, 5 years without is fine, you know, as long as we're working on it. But, lost the thought, but I think good stuff has been said already.
Yeah, let's go on to the next part of that question. He says, is it important to set boundaries or rules, like, hey, if you happen to sleep with anyone, just tell me, or is it better to leave it as an unspoken thing? It's really up to you and whatever your partner wants to do within the context of that relationship. And then, of course, there's, like, varying degrees of boundaries or rules. Like, it could just be, if you happen to sleep with anyone, just tell me. Or it could just be, if you sleep with someone and something goes wrong safety-wise and there's, like, a risk, just tell me. Or if you're feeling emotionally connected to the person that you're sleeping with, just tell me. So... You know, it's whatever you want your partner to tell you, and you guys don't even have to be equal on it. Like, Akeem doesn't care when I make out with a guy, but he wants to know if I have sex with a guy.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah,
so whatever. And then I kind of want to just know everything, because I'm nosy. It kind of turns me on a little bit.
Ah, that's great.
It's a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think, so, even boundaries. So, I think John, he really doesn't like... really rejects the idea of giving me any sort of boundary. He's just uncomfortable with the idea of setting any boundaries whatsoever, because he doesn't want to, feels like that's asserting some sort of power or some sort of, like, ownership by saying, you know, do this or only do this. And because I was like, you know, I can always let you know, or I can always do this, or I can always do that. I do let him know, but it's kind of hard because it's still evolving. Nothing has happened since we've been discussing it.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's anything to let him know or not to let him know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how have you maintained healthy polyamorous relations? Communication. That's really pretty much it. Just talking about it all the time. And whenever you feel something, like, sometimes I'm passive aggressive to Akeem, but I try my best not to be passive aggressive about it because mm-hmm. there's not going to be any things from that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think how I could, the way that I would benefit, I think I'd benefit from talking to John about it more mm-hmm. because he was saying that it is something that upsets him deeply.
Yeah.
Like, and he thinks about it often, you know? So, and he doesn't always say it mm-hmm. or talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he'll look a little down and I won't mm-hmm. quite, and I don't really know why. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then it'll take a little prying and I'll realize, oh, that's what he's thinking about. That's what's on his mind. Yeah. I think we just have to talk about it more because mm-hmm. It can't be undone, you know? It's mm-hmm. not like a, because I think like the idea that I was having these feelings, like he knows and acknowledges these are just natural things that I'm feeling that are not related to him, but I think mm-hmm. he still feels like they are.
Yeah.
So.
And it's hard to undo that thinking because like, that's what we've been indoctrinated to believe your entire life.
Exactly.
Like one person with one person.
Right.
If they have any feelings about anyone else,
it means you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. And
I'd like love and respect and cherish him because he's the kind of person who's willing to be so uncomfortable to make a relationship work out, which I think will ultimately bring us to just a better place. Like, I feel like I've just gained so much more depth in my relationship with him. Yeah. Not that it wasn't deep before, but like, it's just like a different understanding, a different level of intimacy.
Yeah.
And, I like where we are now. And because if it had continued and I was having these feelings and feeling bad about them, and I don't say I would have broken up with him or something, but I feel like it would have led to like a really bad mental space and place to be. Mm-hmm. Cause I'd be like, ah, other guys are cute. And then just feeling shitty.
Yeah.
And then I think he also would, I know he would have also been unhappy if he hadn't known. I think he would have preferred to know I was feeling this first, just never knowing.
Yeah. And then the last thing Tim says is, what can I do as an individual to be conscientious and fulfilling partner?
Everything you're doing right now.
Flip side of that, listen. Yeah. Listen and take whatever your partner says into account. Mm-hmm. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, obviously don't do it, but well, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Some things... If it's something that you feel is a boundary, then don't do it. Like, if it's a clear thing that you don't want to do, then don't do it. Yeah, but sometimes, like, with this, you kind of have to, like, live in the discomfort and explore it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a new thing.
Yeah, and new is not always...
It's not always comfortable. Easy. Yeah, it's not always easy. But just, like, listen, be attentive. You're already doing it. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're a great guy, Tim.
Yeah, right. And the fact that you're asking from people who are already doing it, you're not just, like... Yeah. I don't... Oh,
take Google that question and ask your partner that question.
Exactly. Yeah. What can I do?
Yeah. And he or she will let you know.
Assuming that it works out.
Yeah.
Assuming that...
They're broken up already.
It's over. It's because of us.
All right, and then we have a last fun question from Chanel. Chanel's 27. So Chanel writes, to you, what is the best sex? Quickie? Oof. Makeup sex? Drunken sex? Hardcore sex? Long satisfying sex? Or morning sex?
I feel like what would be really fun is to just talk about all the best parts of sex we've both had.
We have to end this podcast. We're running really long right now.
It's a very hard question.
All the best parts of all sex ever.
there's just a lot that I've enjoyed.
Good for you. That's very sex pause. That's very sex pause. Oh,
that's good.
I feel like some of the best sex I've ever had is usually like, not when I'm like completely drunk or whatever, but when I'm like,
I was gonna say,
feeling pretty nice. Uh-huh. Oftentimes when I'm like also high at the same time.
Yeah. Because
everything is just like
everything is sensory, extra sensitive.
Sensory, yeah.
You know what?
Those are good. Like after a long night of like kind of like you're getting on my nerves. Fuck. Yeah, those are always good.
That alleviates my guilt a little bit because
And then I feel like that's when I give the best head because I'm just like,
you know,
hold bar.
Lego.
But, that's where the gag reflex goes.
I was feeling guilty because I was like, oh no, is it bad that I really enjoy sex extra when I'm high?
And no, that's like what being high
I'm just like,
that's why food tastes better and shit.
Like
everything's
regular,
funnier.
Like a regular nipple lick is pretty good, but then like when you're high,
it's amazing.
It's like the toes curl. It's so nice. And I think it just... It really emphasizes your partner's best qualities.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what
so
it
that's,
is.
Yeah, I guess so drunk,
so drunk and
sex.
High sex.
Because then you also feel like you're being a badass, too.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm
drunk and high.
Sex, drugs, alcohol, you know? Right.
Fuck that honor student. not who I really am. I'm a bad girl.
That's what I've been trying to do this whole my whole entire college career. I'm not that goody girl I used to be in high school.
But then if you like actually talk to the people who were like quote unquote bad in high school, they're doing a lot of they're like doing coke.
Yeah.
Off of like strippers' bellies. Yeah. They're like, I smoke weed now. They're like, okay.
Exactly.
I was doing that when we were in middle school, bitch.
Exactly.
Continue to get on my level.
Continue to get on my level.
Yeah. Never gonna reach it.
Exactly. I think quickie sex can be fun.
Yeah, those are fun.
I guess my favorite position, I guess I do have, I like doggy style is my favorite position.
Me too.
It just gets the spot of me.
It's
I feel
the
like
spot.
I come immediately, but I also come multiple times.
You come from vaginal penetration?
Yeah.
What a unicorn!
A unicorn?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Yeah, like somebody who's like rare.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought it had to do with like a dick and then the unicorn's horn.
Oh my god.
What? Thought it was a
some neck shit.
Thought it was a different. But you know, if there's clitoral stimulation, that's
yeah. I
extra
mean,
amazing.
It's very easy to stimulate the clitoris when you're hitting it from the back, and then
and then
smack my butt. And I'll have
exactly.
your babies. We'll get married.
Cause I'm, at that
that's
point,
all I need.
It's just so much stimulation. I feel like I don't even know what's happening. You know? I'm just like, exactly.
Oh fuck. Oh, what man. Am I?
Exactly.
Humanity.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Never had makeup sex.
Me neither.
Hardcore sex. I'm not sure what that means.
That was me and Akeem's rape scene. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
I think that's like varying for different people. I get sore pretty easily, so you know, fuck hardcore sex.
Me too. I feel like everything has been drugs. Like, yeah, me too.
We have the same vagina. We have the same vagina.
Slam Pal only has one vagina.
Yeah, long satisfying sex. That's good sometimes.
Yeah. It depends. Like, are there breaks? I remember. Yeah. Oh man, one trip to San Francisco.
Oh.
Let me stop.
There are aunties talking, guys. We gotta end this fucking podcast.
There's Keem's relatives are all over
That's
the place.
Keem's grandma.
Oh, no. Maybe we can talk a little lower, or should we just wait?
I have no idea. This is an unprecedented situation.
It is. It is. Oh,
here's if they don't open the door.
What the fuck is going on here? I can be vague.
Talking about dick.
I'll say I can be vague.
Talking about dick, grandma.
Dick. Oh. Funny because the example, the joke becomes the reality.
Exactly.
Oh no.
Oh, so funny.
So maybe we should just wrap it up.
Yeah. Morning sex. I don't quite enjoy it. My breath always stinks.
Exactly.
Your breath stinks.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. That's it for that segment called Bleep You.
Yeah. We say Bleep You because. Relatives are in the
relatives are in that. It's okay. We'll be back in our quote-unquote studio next. We're not going to tell you we're really recording.
Oh.
But we'll be back there next week. It was just closed because of Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah. So it was awesome talking to you guys.
Talking at you guys.
I said, that's why I said to.
Yeah.
Not with.
Yeah.
And about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So next week. Maybe we'll talk about getting curves.
Yeah. Keep sending in your ideas. Some people have sent me in some ideas.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So.
So that was the inner home of rising.
She's whispering.
Once again, I'm Sam.
And I'm Shanika.
You can follow Sam at itslam, I-T-S period S-L-A-M on Instagram.
You can follow me, Shanika, at Shanika Powell, S-H-A-N-I-K-A-P-O-W-E-L-L.
And you can follow us as a collective, Slam Pow, slam_pow on Twitter, slam_pow on Instagram. Slam Pow Productions on Facebook, youtube.com/slampowproductions if you want to see what we do visually.
That's a good face.
I think that's it. If you're listening on SoundCloud, you can also listen on to iTunes or Stitcher by typing in Inner Ho Uprising.
If you made it to the end, please let us know what you think about this episode, what you like and what you didn't.
Yeah.
And we're so early in the game that you might just make a huge ass impact.
Right?
On,
you might change the whole
show. You might change the whole thing.
Yeah, send in your questions, your comments, your concerns, your reviews to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising, podcast, normal spelling, @gmail.com.
Yeah, now we're going to leave you off with a
little something sexy.
No, fresh cranberry juice. Yeah, I told him that it promotes a sweet vagina.
Hmm.
Sweet well, to the taste.
The aroma is definitely alluring. Yeah. And me being alpha male is I can't take my I can't take my mind off your vagina, Erica.
Join the club.
Hello.
Come on in.
All right. We got Nadine on the line.
But you
got
to know the password.
Right. Got to know the password.
And pay your dues.
Okay. Well.